Take your Bibles, open to the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. John, chapter number 21. Amen. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. John, chapter 21, beginning in verse number 15. The Bible says this: "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. A familiar portion of Scripture. I know I have preached on this and taught on this and in years past, but this is one that kind of jumped out at me as looking at a message for tonight. The disciples had just witnessed another miracle, and I'll get to that here in a minute. And after they had had breakfast, after they had dined, Jesus answered or asked three questions of Simon: Do you love me? And it was an opportunity for Simon Peter to assess his relationship with Christ. Where do I stand? A little instruction and some self-examination. It says it grieved him, and I'll talk about that here in a minute. But what a great lesson for us tonight as we face these uncertain times. How's your relationship with Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. Father, the opportunity to be here at your house. Father, thank you for the songs of Zion. Now, Father, take this message and stir our hearts with it. Father, just as Peter was grieved and stirred that day on the shores of Galilee, Father, if there's something in our life that's not quite lining up, Father, grieve our souls. Father, draw our attention to it. Father, help us to evaluate our relationship. Father, be with this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, just kind of setting the stage here of what's going on. This is after the resurrection. Jesus has been crucified. He's been laid in the borrowed tomb. He was there 3 days and three nights, which, by the way, means he wasn't crucified on Friday. Amen. It had to be a Wednesday. It's the only way to get 3 days, three nights and have an empty tomb on Sunday morning when it first getting light. Only way to do it. But after the resurrection, he had appeared in the upper room that Sunday night, and Thomas missed that Sunday night church. Hey, Thomas missed Sunday night church, but our Thomas is here. Amen. The next week, Thomas was in church. Amen. The disciples had headed up towards the Sea of Galilee. Here, first part of this chapter, Peter says, I go a-fishing. I know people are going, amen, I like Peter. They'd spent a night and caught nothing. Jesus appears on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, and you know Jesus has got a sense of humor. He knows what's going on, knows they've been toiling all night, hadn't caught anything. And so what does Jesus holler out? Hey, guys, you catch any fish? No. Throw the net on the other side. And they brought in a bunch of fish. At this point, Peter recognizes the miracle that has now happened the second time, and this is the only recorded miracle after the resurrection. Recognizes that this is Jesus that is doing this and swims to shore. When he gets there, bread and fish are on the fire. There's that Come and Dine, the Baptist national anthem. We sing that one every now and then. Okay? And so here they are. They've had this big meal. And Jesus turns to Peter and he asks him a question. After the meal, after they had dined, verse number 15. Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Let's stop right there for a minute. The word love in this verse, or in this part of this verse, is the Greek word agape, or agapeo, the verb. agape the noun, agapeo the verb. Anybody know what agape love is? That's that unconditional, I'm going to love you in spite of you. Okay? This is the love in a marriage, or should be. Amen? I'm going to, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for the good, bad, the ugly, doesn't matter. Agape love. This is what Jesus is asking Peter. Peter, do you have an unconditional, above everything, do you have a love for me? And the question continues because he compares here. He says, lovest thou me more than these? And I got to thinking, what are the these? There's nowhere in the passage that says that what Jesus was pointing to or what Jesus was referring to. So let's have a little fun here. Who else was there? Well, there were other disciples. Jesus could have been pointing to the other disciples. Do you love me more than these? I'm not trying to offend these folks over here. Do you love me more than these guys? Do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more than your family? Do you love Christ more than those that you're familiar with or work with? Weren't they all disciples and working together? Do you love God more than your co-workers? More than your in-laws? Your outlaws? Your ex-laws? Yeah, the in-laws, that was an easy one. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. What is that, pantherphobia, fear of mother-in-laws? Okay. Do you love me more than these? And he could have been talking about the disciples. Could have been talking about others that were gathered there. Is God first above our family? Wait a minute. There could be something else here. These were fishermen. Wasn't it the Sea of Galilee where Peter had first heard that, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? And he left the nets and the boats and followed Jesus. I wonder if Jesus was pointing to the boats, pointing to the nets. Do you love me more than your job? Uh-oh. I'm going to start stepping on toes here, aren't I? Let's apply this to the church today. Well, yeah, I'd like to come to church, but family. Do you love getting together with God's people more than family? Do you love coming to worship God more than family? Do you love coming to hear from the Word of God more than hanging out with the family? Do you love coming to work? I work here. Do you love coming to church more than going to work? I tell you what, the worst day in church is better than the best day of work. Amen? Where does God sit in your relationship? Do you love me more than these? Could have been talking about his work. I wonder if he was talking about all the fish. I know one of the accounts talks about the fish, and they brought in just this multitude of fish, so big the nets were breaking, and they were having a hard time, and Peter had to go back out and help them drag the nets up into this. Do you love me more than your gain? Do you love me more than the treasures that God provides? Do you love God more than these? Ooh, I don't know what the these were that he was talking to, but just kind of having some speculation and some comparison. Do we love God more than our work? Do we love God more than the blessings that he gives us? Because by the way, they went and tried to work and caught nothing. God provided the blessing and said, do you love me more than the blessings you're being provided? Do we love God for who he is or what we get? We got your steel toes on? I'm glad I got mine on. Amen. Do we love God more than just what we get? There's an eternal home in the heavens. We've shouted about preaching about the mansion. I talked about that last Sunday, and I go to prepare a place. My Father's house are mansions, a place of permanent dwelling. But is that do we love him because of what we get? Well, hey, you know, he saved you from hell. I'm not going to hell. I get to go to heaven and have a house, have a big mansion. Yay! Or do we love him? Where's God fit in our priorities? And in this day of, if you look at what's out in the world, get, gain, gather, and hoard. It's all about what you get from one another. Climbing the corporate ladder is usually climbing on the backs of the people of other people underneath you to get what you want. You got to put them down to climb up. It's all about me-itis. I know you guys have heard me talk about the difference between a dog and a cat. A dog is theology. Always glad to see you. Willing to do whatever you want. You throw something out, the dog will go get it and bring it back to you. The dog will bark if there's a problem. They'll alert you to danger. A cat? Me. Only time my cat comes up is if Mimi wants something. My turn. Where are we with our relationship with God? Is it about our stuff and our daily lives? And well, you know, I'll just put God in there wherever it'll fit. Or do we love Him? Christianity in America has become a religion of comfortableness, of complacency. The Church of Laodicea is alive and well today in America. Well, I don't know, preacher. It's pretty hot in here. Did you turn on the air conditioner? I don't know, preacher. It's pretty cold. Did you turn on the heater? I don't know, preacher. The pews are a little hard. Do we have cushions? I don't know, preacher. I'm watching that time. You're going a little long. Are you thinking about what we're going to eat? Me, 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 me. The church at Laodicea, they're neither hot nor cold. Why? They're comfortable. That's our church today. I'll read my Bible when I have time. I'll do devotions on my schedule when I get around to it, when I have an opportunity. What are you putting before God? Do you love me more than these? How does God fit in your relationship? Where does He rank? Peter's first answer, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Yeah, Lord, I love you." And it's not until you get into the Greek and you look at the words that you find out there's a different answer than what the question was. Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Agape or agapeo, the verb there. Do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me more than what this life is about? Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love phileo you." I know I could have a little fun with that little play on words. They just said all the fish and he's filleting the fish, right? No, I'm kidding. Phileo, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Phileo is a brotherly concern or care. I love you like a brother. Love you like a friend. Yeah, I'm kind of concerned about you. I wonder when we have our prayer time and we take those prayer bulletins home or look at the ones online and go down through the list, I wonder, is our attitude in praying for family members and church members and missionaries and those on and government, are we praying for them out of the love of phileo? Well, yeah, I hope they're all right. Or do we have a genuine concern? I want to see their good, their benefit, their relationship grow. How are we praying? Peter's answering, "Yes, Lord, I love you like a brother." Not quite what Jesus was looking for, I don't think. But you know, Peter is a lot like us, and I'm so glad that Peter can be honest. And if that question were to come up to us, I wonder sometimes how we would answer. Well, yeah, Jesus, you know I care. You know I'm concerned. Ooh, shiny. We'd probably answer the same way sometimes. Verse 16, Peter Jesus says to Peter again, I'm getting my names mixed up here. Jesus says to Peter again, "Simon, thou son of Jonas," Bar Jonas, the son of Jonas, "lovest thou me?" No conditions. No comparisons. It's not, do you love me more than the disciples? Do you love me more than the boats? Do you love me more than the nets? Do you love me more than the fish? Do you love me more than your clothes or what you're providing, the blessings? But just simply, do you love me? Agape. Regardless, if I had nothing in this world, would I still love God? There's a song that just the lyrics popped into my head here, and I'm gonna. I think it's that song. I know who holds tomorrow, and you know I don't know if it's going to be the mountaintops or the valleys. I don't know if what's in front of me is going to be problems and things that way. Even if after accepting Christ as Savior and Jesus, I love you, I'm trusting you. Even if the rest of my life was in the muck and the mire of the world, in the pig pen, would I still love him? This is the question being asked Peter. Forget the comparisons. Peter, very simply, do you love me? Christian, do you love Jesus? Regardless of anything else, regardless of the fact that he died for you, regardless of the fact he offers you a home in heaven, regardless of the fact he offers you the forgiveness of sins, do you love Jesus? That's the question. Peter responds again, "Yea, Lord, you know I love you." Phileo. Brother. I just spent 3 years with you. You're like a brother to me. Where do we put our relationship with God? In the world that we're living in the times that we are in and all the problems that we face, and we've been talking about that last Sunday morning and then this morning talking about the battles that we face. I wonder if sometimes the reason we face battles or the reason that we face problems in this life, I wonder if part of that might be the fact that we have slipped from an agape, God, I'm going to put you first above everything, to Jesus, I love you like a brother. I've gotten comfortable. I'm going to have a little fun here. We've got several married couples with us today, and some that have been married, and some that are getting married, and some that are saying, you know, yeah, someday I might, and others are saying, yeah, no, I've heard about it, and there ain't no way. How did you? But most of us understand marriage. Okay. Alex, if you're looking at marriage at this age, we got another thing to talk about, okay? But you might remember when you first started dating, when you first started getting together and meeting for coffee or meeting for this or getting together, and those that first couple of years or so of marriage, and it was that honeymoon, and you just couldn't wait to be there. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. And then what happens? Here comes the chuckles. We start getting comfortable. Well, that's just what we expect. And suddenly we're not as close. We've slipped from the, I'm going to put you first time, I just can't wait to be in your presence, I can't wait to be around you, I can't wait to do things with you, to, well, you know, if we get an opportunity, maybe we can. I wonder in our relationship with Christ if we've done the same thing. And because we've done this, we have these problems. Why? Not because we've done anything other than the fact we need to draw back closer to Him, and the problems we face are designed to draw us back closer to Him. I know in this world we'll have problems. This world is a crazy, wicked, mixed up, messed up place. And there's enough problems out in that world without me stirring it up to go find it. It finds me on its own. But don't let my relationship with God become to the place where I'm comfortable that I need to end up facing a little chastisement or a little correction or a little eye-opener to say, hey, Peter, where's your relationship? Do you love me? Not like a brother. Do you love me? Is God first above all? That's the second question. Do you love me? Peter, do you agape? Yes, Lord, I phileo. They still he hadn't done that yet. And so it says in verse 17 that he saith unto him a third time. Now, can you imagine, husbands, help me out here. because maybe you've done this, and you know your wife has said something to you from the other room, and you just you heard the talking, but it was kind of like the teacher on, remember Peanuts? Womp, 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 womp. And you're going, yes, dear. And half hour later goes by, and she says, yeah, honey, I thought you were going to, and womp, 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 yes, dear. And about the third time she comes back up, she's starting to get a little upset with you. And you're going, oh, okay. Help me out here, guys. I'm not the only one doing this, right? Hey, man, thank you. I appreciate that. Jesus saith him a third time, Simon, do you love me? But there's a difference in this question. Jesus is no longer asking, or is not asking it on this third time, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally above all? That's not the question. The question is Peter, do you phileo? Do you love me like a brother? This is what grieves Peter. It's not that Jesus had to ask him three times, and maybe, maybe he'd ask three times because Peter denied three times. I don't know. But I can see Peter being a little grieved with this, and maybe this is where we need to be a little grieved with this. Because I think Peter at this point is getting an eye-opening experience of what is the height and depth and breadth and length of, and the vastness of God's love. Peter, do you agape? Do you love me more than all? Well, God, I'm kind of stressed up. I'm doing the best I can. And God has enough love for Peter that he comes down to where Peter is to raise Peter up to where Christ is. Let me meet you where you are and bring you to where I am. Do you love me like a brother? And Peter's grieved because God's got to come down to our level to meet us where we are. God, I've gotten tangled up in the world. I've got tangled up in the cares. I've got comfortable in my relationship, and I love you like a brother, but I can't get to where you are. And he says, let me come to where you are. Do you love me like a brother? Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Peter's honest. You know my thoughts. You know my words. You know my actions. You know where I go and what I do and how I do it and who I'm interacting with and how I'm treating them and who I'm talking to. God, you know all things. And you know that right now I'm just doing all I can. I love you like a brother. And when we get a hold of God's love, and we realize that he has left the portals of glory to become like one of us because of his vast love for us. We are unable to get to him, so he came to us to demonstrate for us the unconditional love that we need to have and to draw us back to that unconditional love. I imagine at this point, Peter's also getting an eye-opening and going, okay, God, I thank you for coming down to where I am, but Lord, help me to get back to where you are. Help me to have that unconditional love, that love of putting you first. And by the way, we know it happened. Look at Peter on the day of Pentecost. Old shy foot and mouth Peter preaching to a crowd in Jerusalem. Look at Peter in Samaria. Look at Peter at Cornelius' house. Look at Peter as he's writing to the churches of Galatia in 1st and 2nd Peter. As he demonstrates, as he illustrates, as he teaches us what that unconditional love for God is. What was that verse that we were reading out of 1st Peter in Sunday school, that we're not redeemed with gold and silver? Of the vain conversations and traditions of men, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Peter understood, God, I need to love you more. I need to put you first in my life. I need to get to the point that whatever it is that might be getting between me and you is no longer between me and you. And regardless if there's anything out here in the world, the get, gain, gather, and hoard, or Lord, if it's just simply you and me in a prison cell, or walking alone at night somewhere, even if it's just the two of us, Lord, I'm going to put you first in it. I love you. Agape. Peter learned that lesson. I believe right here was an eye-opener for that. And you know, that should be an eye-opener for us as we look at the love we have of God. We say that we're Christian. We say that we're Christ followers. We say we have a relationship with God. So what kind of relationship do we have? Well, he's just one of the family. He's that rich uncle I turn to when I need something. I've got myself in trouble, so I'm calling out, help. How's our relationship? If I listen to just Jesus' words through this portion, and I want to talk about another object here, but let me finish this point up. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Is God first in your life? Is he first in your finances? Is he first in your marriage? Is he first in your job? Is he first in all that you have? Is he simply first? Or is he just a friend? Where's our relationship? And as he's talking with Peter, what I also noticed in these same three verses is there's three commissions that are given. And I want to touch on these just for a few minutes. Because at this point, I can see that Peter is being talked to like a sheep. Bah. Okay? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. I'm just a sheep and following along and following the great shepherd. But I also noticed at each one of these verses that Jesus not only talks to Peter as a sheep. And by the way, sheep, where are we in our relationship? But he talks to Peter as a disciple, a follower, a student, an imitator. And this also fits us, not just those in pastorate, not just those in leadership, not just those that teach a Sunday school. But if we are a disciple of Christ, if we are a true follower of Christ, then we need to heed the commissions that are given here. The first one there in verse number 15, Simon, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. He says, feed my lambs. That word feed, I'm going to try to find my notes here, is the Greek word bosko. Now, I don't speak a whole lot of Greek. I can throw a couple of words out there every now and then and not destroy the language too badly. But that word bosko literally means to provide food or nourishment. As a disciple, are you providing nourishment to lambs? What's a lamb? A lamb's a baby sheep. Bah. Whether that lamb is a new creature, a new Christian, someone who's just accepted Christ, they're a babe in Christ desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Or whether the lamb is a young child physically. Either way, are you feeding? Are you providing nourishment for the young in Christ as a disciple? Are you feeding the lambs? We've got some discipleship, some devotions back there designed for the kids. Are you taking those and using them to teach your children? Are you spending time with your children and your grandchildren reading the Word of God and teaching them the principles? I know Mark and I took that trip and I was picking on him this morning and having a good time with that. But what a great opportunity as we were able to take the situations and conversations as they came up and being able to use the Word of God to teach and instruct. I'm not saying that Mark's a lamb and a babe in Christ. You know, he's growing. But are we taking the opportunity as disciples to feed those that are younger than we are in God? Feed my lambs. Verse 16, he says that second time, Peter, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me? We've already talked about that. Yea, Lord, you know I love you. Then he says, feed my sheep. The word feed is not nourish. It's poimeno. It's the word that literally means to shepherd. What does it mean to shepherd? It means to guard. It means to protect. It means to guide. You don't drive sheep, you lead sheep. By the way, this is the same word that Peter uses over in his epistle. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. That's the same instruction as what's right here in verse 16. Shepherd the sheep. So let me ask that same question. We talked about providing nourishment. The sheep, we're talking about those who are a little older in Christ. Maybe those that have grown up a little bit. Are you protecting their faith? Parents, and grandparents, as we watch TV or have things going, are we aware that the younger sheep are around the corner paying attention to what we're doing? Are we guarding and protecting their faith by what we're doing? Are we shepherding sheep? Are we tending to them? Are we being mindful and watchful and concerned? Verse 17, he said the third time, Peter, lovest thou me? And I won't quote that entire verse, but the end of that says, feed my sheep. And that word feed talks about to nourish again. See, it's not enough to just nourish the younger sheep. We need to nourish the older sheep. This is where iron sharpens iron. This is where, as a pastor, I come along beside a deacon or beside another pastor as we teach and feed and nourish one another. Are we providing nourishment for the other sheep in our flock? Those that might be around our same age spiritually, or maybe a little older spiritually, because even the older spiritually need encouragement. They need nourishment. They need food. As a disciple, are we expressing our love for Christ by following the instructions of Christ? By taking care of and passing along to the lambs? By guarding and protecting the testimony of one another and the testimony of our church? And are we feeding and encouraging sheep of any age that we come across? It is our care for the other sheep, children, Christians, disciples, that reveals whether our love for Christ is an agape or a phileo. So just kind of some questions tonight. It's a passage that you've heard me talk about, we've referenced, and I love this passage and some beautiful, beautiful lessons in it. But as we're looking at the days that we're in, the problems around us, the struggles that we deal with, yes, part of that may simply be because we're getting wanting to not go, ow. Amen? I know that we're living in a world that is controlled and under the influence of the wicked one. I understand that. I understand that the very ground is cursed because of sin. I understand that the foods we're putting in us are probably grown from either the ground that's cursed with sin or in a laboratory cursed by man. Take your pick. But Lord, let nothing come between me and my Savior. Don't let my relationship be the reason that I'm facing trouble. And Lord, if there's something in my relationship that needs to get right, that even after following you and watching the miracles and looking at your blessings, if I'm still not quite where I need to be, Lord, I thank you that you love me enough to come get me where I am, to bring me to where you are. Lord, help me to walk closer to you. Help me to be that example that you would have me to be. Lord, help me to be able to get through the problems, whatever this life might throw, knowing that this world's not my home. And regardless what I deal with, I have a loving Savior walking step by step. Let's stand quietly for prayer. If that Holy Spirit's dealing with you, would you come to an old-fashioned altar? Would you simply pour it out to him and say, Lord, my love for you's kind of slipped a little. I've gotten a little comfortable, a little complacent. Lord, draw me home. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you be with this invitation tonight. Father, be with this time and Father, this message. And Father, a simple truth and a simple passage, Father, we've taught on it. We're familiar with it. But Father, oh, how rich just these three verses are. And Father, what a great time for us to reevaluate where we are in our relationship with you. Father, have we slipped? Have we become comfortable? Is our love for you simply a phileo, a brotherly love? Or God, are you truly first in our life? Father, if there is something that's come in the way, would you reveal it to us? Publicly, privately, smack us around, whatever you need to do to get our attention, to get our eyes off of the things that get in the way, and get our eyes back on the way. Father, be with this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.